This is HPR episode 2721 entitled HPR Community News for December 2018 and is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 71 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in December 2018.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Today for your torment, it's the HPR Community News for December 2018. And joining me, as always, is Dave. How are you, Dave?
I'm good, thanks. I might have a little cold, so my voice might not be the same as usual.
Yeah, I'm sure people will be fine with that. So how was your month?
Well, good month. It's December. Well, it was December, so it's always a good month.
Anyway, enough messing. Who are you exactly and why are you here? Well.
So I'm Yannick, the French guy from Switzerland, and I am here because Dave is sick. So I'm going to try and replace him for this show tonight.
I don't think that's possible. Although, no. I wonder after the new year what air quotes sick means.
I don't know, we'll have to find that next month, I guess.
Yes, a little bit too much season's greetings perhaps.
Probably.
Anyway, the HPR Community News show is put on by the HPR community, just like the HPR New Year show is put on by the HPR community. And it just so happens that a different part of the HPR community does both. So this month, we're actually recording this after New Year's because of the weird the Saturday before the first Monday of the month. And it's basically a look at what's been going on the HPR community, which you are a part of, dear listener. And
yes, I am.
And you are as well, dear host.
Sorry.
So do you want to welcome the new hosts for this month?
Yes, if I just can find the list of the new hosts.
While you're doing that, I will waffle on some more. As I was saying to Tlatu on the New Year show, HPR is more about hosts than it is about listenership. And the reason for that is that the shows themselves are put on by the community for the community. So I really never cared about the number of people who listen to the shows. I'm always more interested in the number of people who are contributing to the network. If we had a decrease of 50% listeners, then I would be fine if we had an increase of 50% listeners, because the content will be there and eventually people will hear it. So, new hosts this month are?
Well, guess what? I think Dave is really, really sick because he didn't send me the list of new hosts, I'm afraid. Unless I have...
Dear.
Unless I'm really mistaken, but I don't think there is anything about new hosts on this show notes I have.
Yeah, we also go to the webpage, which I will paste you, which I'll paste into the chat.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Oh, there it is. I found the new host, singular, and this is Edward Miro.
Also Cypher in Leetspeak. So very, yes. Very welcome. And he's already submitted his second show, which I'm absolutely thrilled about because I really enjoyed his first one. But we will talk about that anon. So the monthly show, we basically want to make sure that everybody hears at least some feedback about their shows. And we knocked off last month with the HBR community news for November 2018. And obviously we didn't say anything provocative in there at all, because there were no comments on that show.
Nope, absolutely none.
That was made up for the following day with the Linux shutdown command by JWP. I really like the way JWP throws these shows out, you know, just boom against the wall. And you think, wouldn't have thought to do a show on that. And yes, people seem to like it.
Yes, it was actually interesting. I didn't know we could add a schedule shutdown, for example. So it's something that I learned listening to this show.
Yes, I found out that one myself. A good old joke was to schedule a shutdown on your colleague's computer, tell them what you've done, and then they have exactly that amount of time to Google how to cancel it.
that could be fun.
That's pretty nasty, all right, yes. Teaches them not to leave their PC locked.
Yes.
Anyway, Claudio Miranda says in the comments, shutdown on BSDs, a nice succinct episode. One thing to note, though, is that the switch for power off in BSD is -p, lowercase p, which is different from Linux, which is -p, which is uppercase p. Not sure what it is in Luminous OS, Luminous-based distributions, since I haven't used those yet.
Yep.
Can you read Klaatu's?
Yes, okay. So Klaatu said, another great JWP episode. Thanks for yet another straightforward and informative episode, JWP. I always wondered about the halt thing, since on Slackware I'd learned, probably from the Slack book, shutdown-h now, which frankly is what I usually do too.
Yeah, me too.
Klaatu continues with a response to Claudio's comment. Open Indiana uses the original sun shutdown command. At the time of this writing, at least, I know a lot of CDDL stuff, which I personally don't know what that means, but it seems very important, is systematically getting replaced, but I'm not sure if shutdown is on that list.
And it's a common developer and distribution license.
Okay, thank you.
It's the one Sun opened it up. I duck-duck-gold it while you... God forbid anyone think that I actually know this stuff.
Obviously, you prepared this a lot more than I did.
No, I'm just more used to making myself sound professional.
And Klaatu said that he's going to record an episode about that. So, Klaatu, we're waiting for you.
Haha, you owe me a show. Owe me a show, Klaatu. Although, in fairness, Klaatu was pretty good with the old shows. And then he also came back on episode 2725. My Illuminous episode is 2725. Enjoy and
there
thanks
you go.
For JWB. There you go. A man of his word. A man of his word. Speaking of people who promised me shows, I was going through my old emails and came across a lot of people who have promised me shows over the years. You know who you are. And it's... By the way, it's perfectly fine to promise me a show on one topic and send in a show on another topic. That's absolutely fine.
Yes. That's what I did, I think, on my first show.
Probably, yeah. The following day, we had XSV for Fast CSV Manipulations Part 1. This is written in Rust. It's my favorite tool for manipulating CSV files by BEasy. Oh, this guy is my hero. Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Yes, I didn't know anything about this XSD tool, but really, really interesting, really useful. Oftentimes, I just did some very complicated stuff with exporting, parsing the XSV with Oak and then doing some stupid stuff.
Yes, I know.
This is really, really useful.
About and then you're like piping into this, into that, back into Oak, back into sed, and then been throwing this into like group chats and stuff, like just that whole table thing, where you've got XSV space table space the table, and it just makes a nice formatted table that you
exactly
can... It's so nice.
And even if you just use this to read some XSV file and produce another XSV file, it just it, It's incredible. It's magic.
Yeah, it's, and how I didn't know about it is amazing. But there you
exactly.
go. Mike Ray says, good timing. What a brilliant tool and a great show. Couldn't agree more. This has come at a good time for me, as I am deep into a large screen scraping project, which is yielding complex CSV files with many columns. Like Beezy, I frequently get involved with textual data manipulation of all kinds of formats. I did not know about XSV and have often had to guess the ordinal position of specific columns, and have had to do this for slicing and dicing operations. Not easy at the best of times and time consuming. All the more so if you can't easily guess the column position because you can't see. For those new to the network, Mike Ray is one of our visually impaired contributors. So the timing of the show is great for me. This is real hacking. So, Dave, do you want to read the next one?
I'm going to read the next comment. So, next comment is from someone called Dave Morris. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
I don't know. Bit of a slacker, I think.
Yeah. Says, this is a great bit of software. Thanks for this. I just listened to the show and immediately thought of several applications of XSV in what I do. I have installed it and I'm learning my way around it. Definitely a great addition to the toolkit, and I could not agree more.
Tlatu says, neato. I didn't encounter CSV all that often, but this is a great tool to know about. That was his comment. And the only other thing I would say is I find it impossible to remember the XSV three-letter command. I have no idea. It just fails to go into my head. So I've ended up coming back to this page about 14 times in the last week.
Just alias it something, you know.
Yeah, but then no, I really like have to learn it. And this, the following day, Bash Tips 15, where Dave explores some pitfalls when using Bash loops.
Mm-hmm.
And this is again, full show notes in his series. Dave, I think, can make series on anything. He is.
But this series is really interesting. I mean, I learn something almost every time. Just you know, one bit here, one bit there. It's really a really interesting series.
And also, I usually find out I've been doing something because it's worked. Had no clue why, and then Dave explains it. I immediately forget, then ask him again on the chat, and then he tells me, but I did a show about that. Yes, I know, Dave, but you're on the chat.
Yeah. All right, sometimes when I listen to those shows, I realize that I've been doing stuff in really complex ways when there's like a one command to do that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm feeling a bit embarrassed at the end, I imagine.
Exactly, yes. I said, well, I'm such an idiot.
I actually want to... I know he's put the show notes together and they're absolutely excellent. I'm looking forward to the time of just having this as an EPUB somewhere where... you know, the Dave Morris Bash scripting book.
Yeah, that would be great. Yes. Published by HPR, maybe.
Yes, obviously, yes. Along with Ahuka's LibreOffice book. So that's one that we should do as well. Following episode was episode 3,000. 3,000 people!
Yee-hee!
And we still don't have a congratulations, Wikipedia PR page. Why don't we have a Wikipedia page?
Yeah, why? I don't know. Well, someone's going to have to do one.
Everybody who's technically competent enough to make a Wikipedia page is a HPR host, which is exactly the way I want it.
Someone should do a Wikipedia page listing all 3,000 episodes.
Yeah. Did you get through this one or not?
I you know, skipped through it. I was not in the mood of listening 7 hours of show. But yeah, I skipped the, you know, just to check it out.
I, as you know, I have a promise with the community that I will listen to every single episode. And I was dreading this one, you know, 8 hours of 7.5 hours sped up. So it was going to be 4 hours of whatever. So it nearly took me a week.
Yeah.
But actually, and it's probably just my perspective on it, because I was involved, I'm involved in the network, you know, I'm posting the shows and stuff. Every single episode, I was able to remember exactly where I was listening to it at the time.
Really? Wow.
I went back. Oh, that's where I learned that tip. I went back to that one. Yeah, that was maybe 4 years later. I used that tip in this other job. And then I pointed that episode to somebody else. And somebody asked Fostem. I was talking to them about that episode. And actually, during the whole show, at the end of it, I was really glad that I had done it. Because, you know, even things like, oh, that was Dave Morris's first show. Or, oh, wow, that, where has that host gone to? That has been so long ago. I'd really love to hear more stuff from them. You know, that sort of thing. It is, you know, if you can brace yourself for it, it is quite cool if you've been involved in the community. But anyway, enough about that.
Yeah.
Following day, Odroid Go by Dodo Dummy.
Mm-hmm.
Had you ever even heard of Odroid Go?
Nope, I had never heard of that. But I checked it out on the internet, and looks like a very nice device.
Yeah, interesting. Wouldn't be my... I'm not that into games, but I know two people who are. Turo Toto, for one, is saying it's particularly interesting. I wasn't aware of Odroid Go until listening to this episode. Well, I don't feel so bad then. Thanks for recording it and spreading the information. While games are fun, I like gaming a ton. I would imagine coding for this device is where I would have most fun. For a long time, I've been fascinated about the idea of taking my programs with me and carrying them around, using them when I want to.
Yeah, I've seen that you can program that. It's Arduino compatible, so it could be very cool. Interesting. And we have another comment from Klaatu. It's a title, particularly interesting, plus one. I'd heard of Odroid, but this has been a great review of one with lots of useful hands-on information. Thanks for this. Eventually, I assume my pocket chip, I guess it's something similar, will die. And since the company that created it is no more, I can foresee wanting a replacement. There's ultra-portable systems, some Pi-like device with a screen and some method of input, are really, really useful on the 20-hour flights from New Zealand on the east coast of USA that I end up having to make, I'm going to start this sentence again. Are really, really useful on the 20 hours flight from New Zealand to the east coast of the USA that I end up having to make once or twice a year for some tech conf. There you go.
Very cool. And we're joined by Jeroen. How are you doing?
Hello. Well, we can't hear you.
Not to worry. We'll battle on.
Yes.
The following day, we had a... Jeroen is having technical issues. We had episode 2702 by Tony Hughes, audio Audacity setup and response to episode 2658, wherein he thanked the guys at Dave and I think it was Dave and Dave's
and
Dave Al.
Yes, Al. Yeah.
Al and Dave, obviously.
Yeah, Al was interviewing Dave.
An excellent episode on podcasting and how to improve audio. And some other stuff which I still need to come back to.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
So the next day we had Turo Toto, Fog of War in Yesod-based games. This is where Dave now would correct me on the pronunciation of that. And how to implement a Fog of War in a turn-based web game.
Yeah, that's a subject that's like 3,000 miles above my head. So
I'm flying 3,000 miles above that. Although I did follow along with this one because of the way the Haskell, I believe it's Haskell that he's writing it in, is such a different... format to everything that I've used up until now.
Yeah. But, I'm looking at the show notes right now, and that's it doesn't look like anything I've used before.
But as he is going through it, I'm finding myself being able to understand what it is that he's trying to do. But it seems, you would need to actually plan.
Yeah.
I tend to. Work, start at the solution and work my way back.
Yes.
So no comments on that, so we'll jump on to the next episode, which was an introduction to Scribus by Klaatu. And Ahuka says, an excellent show as usual. Klaatu does an excellent job in presenting software. I particularly enjoyed when he said, you could do this, but you shouldn't. And it's true in many situations.
Yeah, I haven't listened to this particular show, so I cannot comment directly.
It's an excellent show. For some reason, he put it into privacy and security. Dun, dun, dun.
Mm-hmm.
So, evidence-based medicine by my friend and yours, Ahuka. And Klaatu says, smart. Listen to this episode made me feel really smart, mainly because of all the sciencey terms like control group and double blind. Once I passed feeling like I was now an expert in scientific studies, I realized that this topic is actually a broad topic that can even in many ways be applied to a lot of things in life, possibly software testing and usability studies. I'd love to get a job sometime where I could test people's reactions to various interface designs or to arbitrary limitations imposed in software and so forth. Thanks for the series. I never thought myself as being interested in healthcare and science, so it's been an unexpectedly intriguing.
Yeah, I haven't listened to this particular episode, but I've listened to other episodes of this series, and even I have the same feeling. I'm not really interesting in this kind of subject, but every episode is really interesting, I think. Maybe because it's personal, you know. It's not just he's not just talking about subjects, he's talking about his experiences, and that's really interesting.
And he says stuff that's correct.
So, yes. Yeah. We have another comment on this episode by Hauka. Which is actually a response to the comment. Thanks for the comment, Klaatu. I guess this works because I always pick topics I am interested in, and I suspect that it is what makes it interesting to others, which is exactly what I was saying just before.
Perfect. So, the following day, we had some crazy Dutch guy. Don't know.
Yeah,
God, this guy.
Someone who
comes on the network, keeps throwing in shows. Now about the AS400.
And someone apparently cannot use Mumble correctly. Sorry, Jaron.
No, we're messing with you, Rune. And he talks about the IBM AS400. And believe it or not, I have used the AS400 in the past. And
yeah.
This brought back a lot of memories and also explained quite a lot about the AS400. I think now if I was going back to my then self, I would be a lot more enthusiastic about the green screen than I was at the time.
I guess anyone which is old enough, I won't give a definitive number, but we and been in computer jobs since a long time, everyone has used some AS400.
Well, you know, Jeroen could come on here, but he a tech fail with his mic. But I really like this. Bob says, Novell, not AS400. It was a Novell server? Well, what's this?
Okay.
Oh, this is the one where he says it was built into a wall, but I think the point was well taken.
Okay.
Next extremely reliable machines.
Yeah. Next comment. Oh, sorry.
So I remember we had our AS400. It had cost like 2 million somehow.
Yeah.
And it was in the middle of our computer room, and I was just sitting there like three black fridges with, three flashing lights in the front. And then over on the other side were a whole go of old crappy 286 machines that we had run CC mail, with a batch scripts running on, a computer rack with loads and loads of monitors around. And anytime we would come in and do the tour of the computer room, people would just stand for hours in front of these 286s because they looked cool. So okay,
those were the good times.
And this one is it's a boring black machine. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, and now we have Raspberry Pis that might have lots of computing power that it could probably replace lots of stuff we were doing on those big machines. Anyway, we have another comment by Klaatu. about the intro music. He said, I love this retro version of the intro music. Really cool episode 2. I was not familiar with the AS400 and I don't know much about mainframes, so this was a fascinating overview. Thank you.
And Windigo says, certainly piqued my interest. Thanks for an informative episode. I bumped up against AS400s a few times in my life, but never managed to find out what they were all about. I feel this was a great intro and I will be poking around the museum to learn more. So actually, I would like to get some more info about this. And also, I meant to comment that I'd like Jeroen, seeing as he's on. There's textfiles.com will assist in archiving old tapes and stuff. So if you have old versions of operating systems for AS400s or whatever, mm-hmm. then you can rip the stuff and put it up on archive.org as part of that project. And he has done some shows as well on here.
All right.
So next day, Jeroen says in the chat, a friend of mine is an AS400 guru and has all his tapes digitized and loaded to AWS. Perfect. And you can transfer them over to Internet Archive as well. They keep them for posterity. And they also replicate them around. I think Delft is doing it. Not because of text files, because of licensing issues. They take care of the licensing issues for you so that you don't have to worry about it. Cool, he says. Excellent. No, folks, I'm not having a one-way chat. I'm talking to Jeroen here on the
You are the voice. You are the voice of Jeroen.
Steganalysis 101 by Edward Miro, Cypher. Mm-hmm. Oh, what sexy show notes. Oh, I love these show notes. Man, oh man, oh man.
Yeah, very comprehensive show notes.
And Beezy says, great show. Thank you for this intro to Steganuffer, the thingy where you hide things and things. It is a topic that I've heard of and given it little thought until this show. I'm interested in what you will come up with for your next episode.
Yeah, and Claire too said, great intro. Thanks for this excellent overview. I find steganography fascinating, but never thought about the workflow. This episode is a great way to focus on the steps and tools involved.
Cool. So the next day, GhostScript talks about manipulating PDFs with GS and PDF stapler. Yet again, Klaatu seems to have misfiled this under privacy and security.
That's
so unlike Klaatu.
How about honing one show for each show that is miscategorized?
And the following day, we had Arrays and Bash Part 1, where Dave went back and edited out my comment about arrays and bash. This time it's personal. Because he's ran out of further auxiliary bash tips. Arrays, yes. Yep. This is also excellent series. We've already spoken.
Yeah.
And YouTube downloader for channels. This was a follow-up on Ahuka's episode 2675. Where you can download an entire channel.
Yeah. I love this series on YouTube from many contributors, actually, because that's true. YouTube kind of tries to show you what they think you want, but sometimes you really want something and it's not what they show you. So, yeah, those tools are those scripts and those episodes are really interesting as a series. And I certainly have learned lots of stuff listening to those episodes.
Cool. And we're looking for episodes on people's recommendations for YouTube channels. It's the same as podcast subscriptions. And if somebody wants to help me out with how to post HPR episodes onto YouTube, that would be super awesome as well.
Well, I can do that if you want. I can look into it.
I have 2 months of fairly serious stuff going on, and then hopefully after that I will be able to dedicate more time to putting in some planning as to how we're going to modernize the HPR workflows a little bit. So if you can hold your horses until then.
No problem.
Anyway, do you want to read the comment? Or?
Yes, of course. So there's one comment by Gustav. Said, thank you. Nice one. This will come in handy. Thank you for posting.
And you're very welcome. Thank you, Gustav. Raspberry Pi 3A Plus review.
Yeah.
By some who's this weird guy from Switzerland. Is he French? Is he from Switzerland?
Yeah, some bad. I don't mind know. Up,
like that other Wally with Irish from living in the Netherlands. Come on. Do you have Swiss citizenship or not? Or is that a thing?
Not yet. I should have gotten it. Is that correct? Yeah. This year, but unfortunately, you need to be married for 5 years, and I didn't stay married for long enough. So I'm gonna have to wait for five more years, and then I will have this. Yeah, bummer. I know.
Do the cantons get to vote on it? Do the people have to vote on it or not? Or do you not live in that canton?
I have to be 10 years in Switzerland to get the citizenship. And since I'm from France, it's going to be, how do you say automatic. That in English? It's going to be not automatic, but simplified process. Yes.
But I heard there was some Dutch lady who didn't get her citizenship because the people in the council where she lived, the actual citizens had to vote, and they voted against her because
That depends where you live in Switzerland, in the different areas, and it might even depend on the very in the not the town, but how do you call that, district something? So it, because Switzerland is a federated country, so laws might be slightly different from one area to the other. I know here in Châtel, there's no vote, I think, but there's a review by some authorities, and you know they to try to determine if you're well integrated, if you speak the language. Here it's French here, so if you speak French correctly, if you're well integrated, which means if you have a long time job, if you maybe here I have a house, so I have a daughter, so I guess I'm integrated here. It should be okay.
Cool. Okay. The following episode was a Raspberry Pi review, which was an excellent review, say so. Not least of which because of the photos that you put in. It was really nice to see. I had not realized how low profile that could be, which might be very useful.
Yeah, the A plus, if you use the right under angle bracket, it's really low profile. Yeah, it's a little less powerful than the B plus in terms of memory. Does a lot half the memory, I think, but it's still
really. But it's got Wi-Fi now.
Yep.
And that makes it very attractive, actually. I never really saw a reason for the A versus a B, you know, if you had to do everything with Ethernet and now. But now this does actually give it a nice niche between the Pi Zero and the B.
There. Exactly. Yeah.
It's beginning to float my boat a little bit. Because the Pi Zero, there's so many compromises on it that it's nice for what it is, but there are so many compromises.
Yeah, the Pi Zero is something that you would, I guess, use to get data from some sensors and then send those data to a more powerful device or a server. While on the A plus, you can actually do some computing right on the chip. Like for example, stick a webcam in there and do some image detection on the device before sending it to a MQTT server, for example.
Yeah, cool. Very nice. You sold me on this. Was that your first podcast? No.
Nope. That was the second one. Yeah. The first one was the Git. My Git workflow.
And the following day, Tlatu wraps up his mini series on stegnography.
Steganography.
That's the one. So he says, did you find the hidden messages contained in Tlatu's previous two shows? If not, Tlatu reveals how to find them. So it's actually worth a challenge. And Ken Fallon mm-hmm. says, did anyone win? We need to know.
Yeah. And then Shotfold Bold Guy, said, great episode series. Solid work, Tlatu. If you're ever in the Cincinnati area, I'd like to buy you a beer and pick your brain. Scott.
Short, fat, bald guy. He is a tall, lanky dude with lots of hair, just using his handle there as a disguise.
Yeah.
So I'm having to keep track on the date numbers because Dave is down on punches down on me if we go ahead too far. So I'm having to be nice and responsible here. Resources mm-hmm. in 4X Games, which is another Haskell show by Turo Toto, and this is where he is going through the various different parts of building a game, which is kind of cool. And it seems Haskell is a very efficient language, looking at the way he's writing this, because the amount of stuff he's getting to do here, building his object. But I'm, again, yeah, he's International Space Station sort of level.
Actually, looking at those show notes and the code in there, it makes me feel like I'm going to have a look at Haskell and try to do some stuff with it just to know how to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Then you can come on special to comment on his shows. The following day, we had Brian in Ohio, and I thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Brian is a pilot and didn't tell any of us and hasn't done any shows on piloting and how to start an airplane, technical aspects of it, how to learn, things you need to know, calculations, stuff you bring on an airplane. Kish, 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 kish. You think you know somebody, yeah? And then all of a sudden. But this was unfortunately in response to the fact that there was a aircraft crash, and the people on the news have been misreporting what a stall is. And this was an excellent,
yes,
excellent, excellent guide to what it is. I even understood it without having to go to the links.
Yeah, I agree. It was very interesting, especially the part where when he said that there's this angle of attack that doesn't even have anything to do with how the plane is related to the ground.
Yeah.
which was what I originally thought, but I was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, but and then when he said it, it kind of made perfect sense because
yeah,
it's obvious. So, pretty cool. About ONAP, which was the Linux Foundation project, and JWP, I had the good fortune to get some tickets to go to this event, but wasn't able to go due to some health issues I was having at the time. And he goes a quick rundown about the network event, mm-hmm. and then about the ONAP, basically what they're trying to do with it, which is Open Network Automation Platform, which is attempting to basically do due to networking configuration what Docker containers and Kubernetes and stuff like that are trying to do in the field of computer infrastructure.
I'm not a network guy, so I didn't understand. Yeah, I didn't understand everything he said, but yeah, it's always interesting to report on those events and things that are going to probably be the standard in the future.
Yeah, exactly. And then we had Tasha doing a short episode on how to gather your RSS feeds from YouTube, which is something we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, another one really interesting in this this whole YouTube series.
And Be Easy said, already put this one to use. Great episode. Have already started using this tip in my tiny, tiny RSS instance. And Taj, sorry, was saying that he noticed that I had put in I had staggered episodes in, and that I had put another one in. And A, you don't need to worry about that sort of thing because this is HBR and people will have two different takes on it. But this actually fits in perfectly in between my two episodes, so this works out absolutely awesome. Just like the steganography one hits in the middle of yeah. the tattoo series explaining what it was. So I was like, did those two guys plan that? So that was yeah. it for the shows. Then we had, of course, the New Year show, which was a live event going on. Did you manage to get onto that at all?
No, I was on vacation at my parents' house, and so I was not able to join. But maybe next year. I don't know what I'm doing next year, but it's certainly something that I would like to take part in if I can next year.
Yeah, it'll be going on. It's the seventh year in a row. Kevin and Honky from basically they hosts, who also hosts the Linux Lugcast show, basically did all the work. Didn't have to do anything, so it was
thanks
it was
them,
absolutely
then.
Awesome. Again, community members can come on and help out. So there you go. There were some other comments that came in after the previous shows. So start with episode 1536, which is 150 in one electronics arts projects, which was from 2014.
There's no how do you say that expiration date on the HBR
absolutely
episodes.
absolutely not. And this is exactly the sort of thing that I love, because you go, huh, you get a comment like this and you go, what, 2000? I did that episode like what, 3 years ago or something like that. So
Richard, do you think people? Do you think there are people who do how do you call that binge listening? Like go back to episode one and listen to 3000 and whatever episode there's on HPR?
Yes.
Do you think it's possible?
I know there are yeah. people who do that. Because
that's the way to do it. Yeah.
Well, that's our way to do it. The thing about it is, I've been trying to do the same thing with the EEV blog, which is an electronic show, and they publish two video blogs a week or something. And it's just, there's not enough time in the day unless you're like, I remember back when I was a student and, you know, I was feeding, you know, rubber duck machines, that's, you know, feeding bars into automated lathes and stuff. And if I had podcasting back then, you know, life would have been just so much easier. The amount of work that you do manual boring work on the farm, just listening to podcasts as you go. But if people are doing that, but again, it'll be too late now because they've already finished. But if people are doing that, going back to listen from show number one, can you keep up with the tags as well? So that's how we know people are doing it. Dave is doing a great job with the adding tags to the old shows.
Yeah.
Anyway, Richard Harris says, consultant, licensed technical instructor. In the Heartland info web pages I posted. Now, this sounds like an ad, but it sounded very much like spam. But Dave and I both decided that, no, it wasn't spam. It's basically he's got a full list to the various different types of kits where he's broken them down. So I'll give you some synopsis. It's a bit chatty. It's my quick guide to the best 150 project kits with their list organized from the most basic to the most advanced of the 69 best projects for people learning electronics. This should help electronics beginners and novices struggling to learn electronics with the poorly organized manuals, which starts with rather advanced topics and scatters the basics all over the place. As a tech instructor looking in to hand my old kits to a newbie, though I thought I'd take the time to sort it out for him, and this is the result. At the bottom is a chart of lengthy tips, collection of tips for novice experimenters, whether using these kits or not. So if you're anyway interested in electronics, follow this link. It's very good. Richard, if you are listening, please, please, please do some shows for us. Thank you.
Yeah, it sounds like there's lots of material here for HBR show.
Cool. Why DocBook, Tlatu says, comments on his own episode.
Yeah, he said DocBook rocks. There's a link to docbook.rocks, which is a URL, https://docbook.rocks. It's a neat site talking about DocBook and how great it is.
Cool. Nice. He's keeping up his own...
Hey!
Yeah. Hey! Has figured out technology. This microphone didn't work on my AS400.
Yeah. I was installing Mumble on my own AS400, and for some reason the RPG compiler just couldn't understand the PTT tour. So I don't know. Last week, New Year's Eve, everything was going great, fine, happy. You know, I was on Mumble and we had a blast in a way. And this evening I tried it, and well, no joy with the microphone. So I switched to another workstation, and of course, this is my beef with Windows. It always decides that it wants to update, and it never asks you for. But this time it happened with me on a Ubuntu system, which is of course way better as an operating system. But anyway, I couldn't install Mumble because he was updating its software. So it was like tapping my desk as in agony. But I'm here. I am. So are there any questions left?
This is where you have to always run Ubuntu and stop using Windows, so you can update to your system every day, and you don't have to wait for 15 minutes.
Yeah, but that's it. This is a Ubuntu system, and yet when I booted it just now, it's in the background. It did an unattended update, security updates, so I couldn't install Mumble because there was a global lock on the package installer.
But it could that it does automatic security upgrades when you boot.
Yeah, well, I said it that way. I know I could disable it, but better be safe than sorry. So
I wouldn't. I would just leave that. But as I said, I would just run Ubuntu every day, 24 hours a day, so I wouldn't have this kind of problem.
Yeah, well, all my systems run Ubuntu, and if ever I have a Windows need, I have a virtual machine with Windows 10 on it. Sometimes, you know, there are always, but most of the time, my life revolves around using Ubuntu for my daily job.
Cool.
So we're going through the comments for the month. I'll put a link to where we're going from into the show notes or into the chat. 1 second.
Do you want me to read the next comment? Why do you do that?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, so it was about episode I Bought a Laptop by, what's that? It's Clay.
Clacke.
Okay. Episode that was published in May of 2018. And the comment was by Clacke himself. And he said, this is an episode, but I'll answer very quickly here. So I don't have the question, but answer number one, invoice in fiat. Cryptocurrency as a medium for transferring value. Two, yay, that's why we didn't do that. If currency needs to be all of medium for value transfer, store of value, and unit of accounting to be currency, then most raw cryptocurrency simply isn't currency. And the third answer was, oh yes. So I encourage you to go back to episode 25, 62 and read the questions, and then you will understand those response.
Well, the questions came from 5150 in the comment just right above that.
Okay.
So he said, are you paid in cryptocurrency? Was question number one. Second, what happens if the bottom drops out? Yeah. And the third one is...
Has volatility in the cryptocurrency market affected your financial status?
Yep. Okay, cool. And he's doing an episode on that. Did you see that? That's promising me an episode.
Yeah.
So the next comment is on a show, A Gentle Introduction to Quilt by BJB. And the comment was by Klaatu. Can't wait to try it. Quilt sounds really great. Can't wait to try it. Thanks for the great episode.
Yeah. Next, we have a comment on an episode by someone called German something. This guy again. Yeah. Running your own mainframe on Linux for fun and profit. I guess that was your first episode, I guess, Jeroen.
Yes, it was. Actually, I've never made or listened to a podcast prior to that. And some guy at OchCamp asked me to, let's say, convert or migrate my talk I did there to a podcast. So that was my first experience ever with doing a podcast. And boy, did it change my life.
You did great on this first episode, if I may say so.
Oh, well, thank
Welcome
you very much.
Welcome to my world.
So, yeah.
So the comment was posted by Klaatu, and he said, best explanation of what a mainframe is. That's the title of the comment. I've skimmed the Wikipedia pages, but until you explained the isolation of the main CPU with controllers for other tasks, I've never understood exactly what a mainframe was, so thank you. Also, thanks for the clear explanation of how to get started with this. I heard about the Open Mainframe project and kind of poked around it, but I think I'll give Hercules a go before Open Mainframes. What's that, Zoe? So is that how do you pronounce that?
Zoe, what do you mean?
He says he's going to give Hercules a go before Open Mainframes. Zoe, is that some projects from Open Mainframe?
Zoe, no idea.
No idea. Either.
No, it doesn't ring a bell by me anyway.
Okay. Well, probably he knows what he meant, so that's all good.
Yeah, Zoe obviously.
Zoe is a new open source software framework that provides solutions that allow development and operational teams to securely manage, control, script, and develop on the mainframe like any other cloud platform. Zoe is the first open source project based on Z/OS.
Okay.
Okay. Well, ZOS, of course, is currently the go-to OS on mainframes because there's only one supplier in the world, IBM, and they're supplying ZOS with it if you have a license and the hardware. So, that's funny. There is also this other project. It's called Open Mainframe, and it's a project by the Linux Foundation, which, of course, is renowned for its main developer, Linus Torvalds. And so they do a lot of open source projects. And so when you hear the word Open Mainframe, you think, okay, that's cool. And they even have a guy assigned to run that project. But mainly what they try to do is... it's a sort of let's not be political correct today and just say it's a sort of a marketing channel for IBM to lure people to the mainframe, saying, "Oh, you look weak. You can also run your open source project on our closed hardware, closed OS, and please come in and rejoice." Which is, of course, I think it's pretty ludicrous.
Cool. Mainframe, I can see mainframe wars coming on here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I won't avoid a good rant whenever I can.
never let a good rant.
Make that an episode of HPR. Right?
Exactly, yeah. There was a comment to Klaatu's My Music Production Setup, 2661. And it was nice look behind. Oh, and that was Claudio Miranda's show about basically setting up basically every tool on the world related to open source music production. And nice look behind the scenes. This was a fascinating peek behind the scenes. I love hearing how open source musicians produce their music, and I love the samples of the music at the beginning. Very cool, which it was.
Next, there was a comment on Mirror Shades Slackware post install episode by Klaatu again. Very prolific in his comments. Comment titled Shameless Self Promotion. Great episode on Slackware. Thanks. I have written a guide on the post install process here. And then he gives a URL. Sorry. I should probably go to the Slack wiki and merge it into the official docs, but I'm not sure what the protocol is for that, for a total rewrite of someone else's content. Anyway, it's available in the Slacker Media Handbook and covers most of the absolute necessary tasks, as well as some GUI customizations.
Well, the funny thing here is Slackware project. The project leader of the Slackware project is a former colleague of mine. Yeah, well, Eric Hamelers, and he currently works at ASML in Veldhoven in the Netherlands. But we were colleagues for approximately 2 years back in, when was that, 89? Yeah, 88, 89. So a long time ago. But I never heard or saw him in the open source scene, and suddenly he just popped up on a event I was organizing, and look, I'm the project leader of Slackware. Yeah, of course, who doesn't know Slackware, you know, if you've been around in open source a long time. Yeah, it's the first go-to distribution ever. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. I'm not starstruck yet, but I'm a little proud that I know him, let's put it like that.
Next time you see him, throw a microphone and our phone in front of his face and get a recording.
That's a nice idea.
See, we get them in. We get them in with the thingy of podcasts, and then we spread the virus out among others.
It works. That's clear.
This was a comment on Tlatu Show Porteous. Cool things you can do installing on a thumb drive, and there was a comment there by Alison. And it was about live media, and the question is, I would also be fun to test drive Linux PC laptops, computer stores, but staff, it would be fun to at least try and reboot the machine, but don't things like network proxy configuration screw up such attempts, was one question. Do staff not want to stop you booting up computers? Doesn't secure boot get in the way? I'm curious, therefore, Tlatu, on what kinds of systems has this approach been useful, older or pre-secure boot PCs? To which Tlatu replies, late response. Better than no response. Sorry, Alison, I only just saw your comment. Network proxy things, I don't have any trouble with it, but I also have a VPN available to me. Maybe that gets around some wonky network setups. I have not had problems in airports, universities, hotel, conferences, centers, or really anywhere I can really think of. Test drive Linux in a store. I do this as a matter of habit. If I'm in a store with computers for sale, I usually reboot at least one PC to Linux just to keep tabs on what works out of the box these days. It seems rare for UEFI to of display models to be locked down, so I open the UEFI UI, disable secure boot, reboot to Linux, test stuff, and then re-enable secure boot to avoid what would be vandalism. I have no interest in giving Linux geeks a bad name. Keep your eye on that one. He'll break our display models until corporate sends somebody to fix them. I've only been approached, reprimanded once for doing this. I calmly explained that I was testing Linux, which is required for work, because I was considering a purchase. The salesperson did not stand down, so I calmly rebooted and later sent an email to the store manager telling him that Linux was a real OS that real people in the area use to work, so the sales teams ought to be made aware of it. I haven't had a problem since in that store. Warehouse stationery in New Zealand, for the record. Otherwise, no one has ever bothered to approach me about it. I guess if I'm nervous about it, I will try to find a salesperson and explain what I need to do and why. And when they ask if I may demonstrate the process, walking them through everything as I did it. Throwing fancy words around like programmer and software developer and C++ might help dazzle them into submission. Either way, it's worth a shot. End of comment.
Whew. That was worth an episode in itself.
I have gone into MediaMarkt, Jeroen, and basically gone up and asked them, and they went, yeah, I know Linux, and I don't care.
You're a braver man than I am for going into MediaMarkt.
Yeah, exactly. But they have been very good about it. They go, oh, yeah, Bob over there, and Bob will come over and have a few minutes discussion about various different distros and what they recommend. But you know, 9 times out of 10, you either get the guy who knows stuff, or they just don't care because they're not paid enough to care.
Yeah.
So that was it, pretty much, for comments.
Mm-hmm.
He gets very annoyed if we go over the comments we've already discussed, so we better not do this.
So next comment we have was by someone named Ken Fallon on Bandit Update by NY Bill. And the comment is, use the website. You are supposed to read the website at the start of the next level.
Yeah, I think we've already covered those last time. So
really?
We skipped all those. He has already, note to volunteers, comments marked in green were read at the last community news show.
Yeah,
and should be ignored in this one.
This one is not in green.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. We'll continue on then. Sorry. Yes. What did I say? Was it any use? Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you said you're supposed to read the website at the start of the next level. That's what you said.
My bill says, huh? I'm not sure what you mean, Ken. It's not a question. If it's a statement, I do read the website at the start of the next level. By the way, if anyone got to above 27 last time, well, they changed 26, so there is a nice extra bit of a challenge to get to that level now, too. Currently stumped at 32 for 3 days now. Have fun.
Yeah, and then you replied, I took it to be a hacking challenge. So I approached it from the point of view that this was a system we needed to access and had to figure out the answer without clues. I don't know where I got this idea, but I thought I heard someone explain it like that. If you get stuck, then go to the website. So I was stuck on 6 for a long time as a result. Now at 11. The problem now, I search for some tool I know I need plus something I need to answer. The result was obvious, but I now feel like I cheated. So I'm deciding if I should come up with... Oh, sorry. I'm going to start that again. So I'm deciding if I should come up with another solution?
Yeah, so another solution to the way that I found out to do it. And why Bill says web page. Ah, I see. I was referring to the over-the-wire link I put in the above. There really isn't any way to know what's expected of you in this level. Some levels leave you in an empty home drawer. Some levels you need information from the OTW page, which you copy and paste in. Yes, I guess you are having quite a hard time without reading that. Yes, I was. I know I said that if you get really stuck, there are websites out there full of bandit solutions, but I don't feel reading the OTW website, that's where it's hosted, for the level goal, and then researching commands or tools to solve it on your own is cheating. How else would we learn any new stuff? Figure out what needs to be done and how things work, and then manipulate it and hacking. So yeah. I'm currently...
Did you leave level 11 and went up? I think we can feel that you are looking...
Just 1 second.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to read the next comment in the meantime. So it's a comment by Klaatu on Hauka's problem with studies. And Klaatu said, this ought to be required listening for everyone before they are allowed on the internet or out of their front door. Which sounds quite maybe extreme, but why not?
No, he's absolutely right. And Kevin says, who was also a hookah, finding the truth. Many years ago, I was told by a professor that all really important questions come down to EPSI terminology, i.e. how do we know what we know? I have come to see the truth in that statement. I'm glad you also see that, Klaatu. So, cool. And I'm up to level 26. I've figured out...
Why?
I figured out something, but I still haven't managed to break out of the something, just for anybody who's done level 26.
And
is that it?
We're done. Yeah, we're done.
No, we're not. Well, there was two items on the mail thread. One was the community news show, and the other was about the new year. And okay. Furthermore, if you can help with help out with the tagging, that would be great. If you are going back listening to older episodes, it just takes a few minutes to write some tags about what was in the shows, and that really helps. It really helps a lot, actually, because especially doing the episode 7000, I was able to get a lot of information just based out of the tags. So, as we do every year now, it's a tradition, we would like to thank all the contributors in 2018, starting with Arasar?
Ahuka? Yeah, you're doing demo? Okay.
Should we do every second one? How about that?
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Al.
Archer72.
Be Easy.
BGB.
Bookworm.
Brian in Ohio.
Plaque.
Claudio Miranda.
Clinton Roy.
Dev Morris.
David Whitman.
Deserter.
D-O-D-D Dummy.
Edward Miro or Cypher.
Phoenix.
Folky.
Hunky Magoo.
HBR Volunteers.
HBR Audiobook Club.
Someone called Jerome Button.
Well, thank you.
Jose Hess. Joey Hess.
John Kulp.
JWP.
Ken Fallon.
Tlatu.
Nightwise.
Lost in Bronx.
Mirror Shades.
Empardo.
Mr. X.
And My Bill.
Operator.
Philip.
I guess this is going to be Kuvmo.
Shane Shannon.
Sigflop.
Steve Sainer.
Swift 110.
Taj Sara.
The Alien Brother Podcast.
The Ramona.
The Dude.
The Love Bug.
Toy Jet.
Tony Hughes, aka Tony H. 1212.
Tutor Toe.
Various Creative Commons works.
Various hosts.
Zook.
Strato.
Yannick, the French guy from Switzerland, whose handle could be a lot shorter if he tried.
Yeah, you can change that to Yannick. It's going to be okay.
So that's it, folks. That was the HBR Community News for December 2018. And Happy New Year to you all. And there are 260 clean, spanking fresh slots available for you, the listener.
I was going to say, make that 259 because I'm going to reserve, post a show soon.
Excellent. So if you have been struggling, last year you gave up smoking, the year before you gave up beer, and you're wondering, what New Year's resolution could I possibly do? Yes, send us in that effing show that you've been meaning to do for the last 10 years. So tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker Public Radio.
Well, just a little side note on the last. So I've been producing or putting out podcasts approximately monthly since my first one. And I have one idea left. And after that, I'm currently blank on the subject. But other than that, there's one thing. I will be moving from one house to the other somewhere around the beginning of February. So before I have everything set up again and being able to record podcasts can take a little while. So I don't think I have loyal listeners by now. I don't think I'm that famous. But, in some time I'll pop up on the screen again.
Jerome, you have no excuse. You have on your pocket all the devices you need to record a podcast. Your phone.
Nah, this is I want a more decent quality recording.
Any audio is better than no audio is our watch words here. And we ask from people is one show a year. Just one show a year. If you do one show a year, then any guilt trip you have for me is gone. So that's all you need to do, one show a year.
So I've done four, so that means that
was last year.
Hear again. That
was last
2000
year.
And 2023.
It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, sure it does. Well, anyway, if I'll wait 3 years or 4 years, that's so much past the Brexit due date. Probably, maybe you even rejoined again.
Well, here's the thing. If you're stuck for stuff to do, rewiring your new house, experiences, any tech experiences that you're coming up against, any weird things that you have to do in the Netherlands that you don't have to do in other countries, moving your kit, how to safely shut down an AS400, the various different parts in an AS400, where you could buy an AS400, how to connect up the monitors, how to get that what terminal eliminators that you should use to connect to your AS400. How to go from token ring to Ethernet. How to
please no more, no more
to programming an AS400.
There you go.
Stop.
Guys,
yeah, you have lots of subject.
I know I get this question from people. I'm running out of podcast ideas, but
now I know there's on the HBR website there is a list of subjects that people can take as an inspiration.
Yes, but so, if you want personal ones, I will personally give people personal based on the shows that they've done up to now. All the stuff that I would like to hear more about what they're doing.
Oh, okay. Well, you just send me an email with your personalized thoughts, and I'll be more than happy to oblige. One last thing. I said it already at New Year's Eve, but my next podcast will be about being a volunteer firefighter. I've been that for 10 years, and of course, that means training and exams and certification. So let's say I know some stuff about helping people in need, and I think that would be a nice subject.
It's of interest to hackers, for sure. Particularly me, because I, cool.
Well, yeah, it's really hacking. I mean, you take a chainsaw and you go onto a car or...
Okay, No. Put it safer for the episode, yeah.
Okay, I will.
Okay, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Jeroen Says Hacker.
Hacker?
Yannick Bebek. Says...
I said public.
And I say radio. Okay, shall we try doing that again? Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of...
Hacker.
Public.
Radio!
Yay! Hey! Happy New Year, everybody!
Happy New Year! And share the software. You'll be free. Hackers, you'll be free. Yannick, please don't delete the recording until
I won't.
Afterwards. Thank you, guys. It's been a ball. I'm going to go and have a beer.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.